Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, part 6, to name a few. And you're listening to the Bean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
What up, Mean Militia? Mean Joe Grizzly here for the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. And when I'm not defending conduct from the hostile demonic takeover alongside the man in black himself, I'm at the Grizzly Cave watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And I wanted to take a small break before we wrap up the spooky season with our Halloween special coming next Monday to bring y'all a bonus review of the DCU's latest installment, Black Adam. But before we get started, I want to remind everyone to please like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Also, follow the show on all social media platforms so you can get updates on upcoming episodes, geek news, discussions, cool videos, and interact with yours truly. So follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast, at Mean Joe Grizz Pod on Twitter. Like the official Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast Facebook page, and last but certainly not least, join my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Mean Militia. I look forward to interacting with y'all and talking about all forms of badassery. Now, normally I would have a Grizzly guide explaining Black Adam and the JSA, but unfortunately, due to time constraints and an unfortunate October release date for the film, it made it pretty much impossible. But I digress. Let's get to Black Adam. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. So, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, or any of the other critic sites, you're going to be told that this movie is a dumpster fire and it's terrible and blah, blah, blah. And I'm here to tell you that just like the majority of the time, those sites are completely full of shit. And I mean full of shit. Now, this isn't no groundbreaking superhero film or anything. That's true. But it is competent, structured, coherent, and directed very well. It's not offering much of anything new and that we really hadn't seen before, but it's highly entertaining. It is in the very least on par with the majority of the MCU movies, and honestly, it reminded me a lot of the first Avengers film. It has that type of tone and build to it, if that makes any sense. And I want to do something different with this review, and I just want to start with the negatives and just get the negatives out of the way. Now, first off, my main issue with this movie isn't really something that is in the film itself, but with how they decided to bring the character into the DCEU. I can't really understand why they wouldn't have introduced him as the main villain in Shazam 2. are really in the first Shazam, which a lot of people don't know if you don't read comics. The first Shazam borrowed heavily from Geoff Johns' run in the New 52 backup feature in Justice League. Backup features are like when you had the main story of whatever book, and then there's like a 10-page backup story that plays at the end of each, or that you can read at the end of each book. And Geoff Johns introduced Shazam this way when they launched the New 52 about, I don't know, 10 years ago. And his Shazam run is amazing. Like, most of the stuff that Geoff Johns does, it's amazing. And it was a pretty good, like, retelling of the origin of Billy Batson and Shazam and of Black Adam. And they actually use some of it loosely in this movie. And the story from that backup feature is used heavily in the first Shazam film. The only thing that it is missing is Black Adam. And they didn't have to, again, I'm always going to say this, they don't always have to follow the comics to the T for me, but they, to me, they can at least get close. And also, you got to pay respect to it. And I'm not saying that Black Adam completely disrespects the source material. I just think that there was a better way to introduce this character, and there was a better way to do it in this movie as well. And I don't understand why they wouldn't have introduced him like in Shazam 2 or the first Shazam and then build off of that in this film. But the story we got works. It's just nothing special. It's just a blah story. It's just there. I just didn't really care about the main big bad that much. Sobek, he was cool looking. I mean, he kind of looks like, I mean, I'm definitely not shitting on this guy because he's a cool villain. He's just, he looks like a dollar store Trigon or a dollar store Mephisto from Marvel. He's just there. And to me, he's going to be very forgettable. To me, it would have worked out better if they would have just made Black Adam the main villain and have the Justice Society of America face off against him. I don't understand why that wasn't an option. Maybe it was when they were in production. But if I would have been structuring this movie and structuring a way to bring this character in, my first idea would be to introduce him in the first Shazam movie, have him fight Billy Batson, or not, just introduce him. And in this movie, have him be in Kondak, like, have this movie follow the first Shazam movie, like, the events of this movie take place X amount of days or weeks after the events in Shazam, and have him take Kondak back from Intergang and start ruling Kondak with an iron fist. And let's not get anything twisted. He does rule it with an iron fist, but he's very similar in like how Aquaman and T'Challa from or Black Panther, how they rule their kingdoms is they don't put up with nonsense inside their kingdom, and they don't put up with anything threatening their kingdom. So it would have made sense as he goes in, takes the throne, kicks Intergang out, brings peace and prosperity and protection to Kondak, and then some incident happens where a plane flies over Kondak airspace or something, and he goes in there and he destroys it, and it causes an international incident, and then this is where the JSA get brought in. To me, that works so much better than how they did it, and you could have gotten his origin story either in the first Shazam movie when they introduce him, or you could have given that story here when Amanda Waller was briefing Hawkman on the situation. I just feel like that would have been a better way of doing it. And then towards the end, the JSA and Black Adam come to an agreement, and they call a ceasefire. And to me, that's how this movie should have been handled. But what we got wasn't bad. I just would have handled it a lot differently. So my second issue is the dialogue in this movie at times is really, really, really repetitive. And I cannot tell you how many times they say over and over again that Black Adam is the strongest and that they can't beat him. And it didn't need to be said over and over and over again, especially when he legit is laying waste to everyone he fights 90% of the time in this movie. Like, he doesn't need to be pumped up by, we can't beat him, we can't beat him. They don't have to keep saying, we can't beat him. I understand why, but he completely puts on display why they have no chance against him. Now, my third issue is the runtime. And there's easily 20 to 30 minutes that they could have cut out without being detrimental to the movie. That's something that I've noticed has happened in a lot of movies lately. I don't really understand. Movies don't have to be 2.5 hours long epics every single time. It's unnecessary. Let's keep it at 1.5 hours. I literally just seen Terrifier, a movie I really wanted to do a review for y'all, but again, time constraints, I can't do it. Love Terrifier. It is 2 hours and 30 minutes long. No slasher movie needs to be 2 hours and 30 minutes long. But again, I digress. I'm coming off this tangent. Now, my final issue with Black Adam is there's scenes in this movie that have some sort of metaphysical thing to them that was really off-putting to me. Like, for instance, there's a kid in the movie that all over his walls he has like DC characters like Flash and Wonder Woman and Superman and Batman, and it's like the comics that they actually have on the shelves now. It's those versions of the character in this universe, and we've already established that this takes place in the same universe as Justice League and Suicide Squad and all that. This is the DCEU, and it's just really strange to see that, because it's a little too meta for me. I don't really know how to describe it, but I know that in other forms of media, I know that the characters within the stories have Superman shirts and toys and stuff like that. I understand that that's a thing, but when you see it in a movie that explicit, it feels super out of place and super awkward to me. Almost like it was like a marketing thing, which that very well could be it. But if that is a marketing ploy, it's not working for me. it's not working. So that it was just, like I said, it was just really off-putting. But other than that, that's really all the complaints I got. Like I said, this movie is not a masterpiece, but it's not like this big pile of shit that everybody else is making it out to be. This movie is easily on par at the same level as, I go as far as say 75% of Marvel movies. Maybe higher. It's not a masterpiece. It's just not bringing, anything super new to the table. It's just a generic, I don't even want to say it's a generic. It really does remind me of the first Avengers movie. And that is not a generic superhero movie. But we've seen it before. And to me, that doesn't warrant the label of piece of shit or pile of garbage or dumpster fire. It doesn't deserve that label. But let's get to the positives. Now, the positives that I have with this is starting with the JSA. The JSA are freaking awesome. I was so happy with what they did with it. Even though they gave us a smaller version of that team. I was so happy with what they gave us with Atom Smasher, Cyclone, Hawkman, and Dr. Fate. I do think that they could have put some more members in there, but I honestly think four's enough. I thought that small scaled down version was enough. It would have been nice to have seen like Jay Garrick Flash or Alan Scott Green Lantern. That would have been really cool to see those two in the place of Cyclone and Atom Smasher, but I understand why they did what they did. But they did a great job of conveying those personalities with those characters and introducing you to them without giving you a lot of backstory. They don't give you a lot of backstory on any of them. I mean, to my knowledge, the only two that actually get some kind of a little bit of a backstory is Cyclone and Atom Smasher, and they get it through conversations, through offhand dialogue, not full-blown origins within the movie. But even then, they did a good enough job to develop that team where you're like, oh, I get this team. I understand where their stance is and all that. And I got to say, Hawkman and Dr. Fate, they are awesome. I think it's Aldous Hodge. I can't really say his Aldous Hodge. He did a fantastic job of playing Carter Hall. Now, here's the thing. That character in the comics has a super complex and convoluted origin to the point that I could devote an entire episode to just his origin. It's very, very convoluted. And I'm glad that they didn't dive into that head first. Now, I love how they did bring a little bit of his lore in where they brought in Nith Metal and his armor and all that. I'm so glad that they brought that in and they did that justice. They did leave out one thing, but it's not detrimental, and that's the Claw of Horus, which is like this big gauntlet that he wears on his opposite to Mace Hand. That's like a... It's just this artifact, this Egyptian artifact that gives him like this big time power boost. But he's so freaking cool. And I love like the attitude they gave him. His interaction with Black Adam was great. How they butted heads constantly. I like the brutality of the way he fights. I thought that they just completely nailed that character. I thought they nailed Dr. Fate as well. Pierce Brosnan was a great choice to play Dr. Fate. He with his age and how the Dr. Fate character is, which is pretty much he is DC's Dr. Strange, and he's actually around before Dr. Strange, and he's more powerful than Dr. Strange. He is immensely powerful. Now, they obviously, spoiler if you've seen the movie, they really dumbed him down in this, because he, in the comics, Dr. Fate solves this whole conflict by himself. He's that powerful. But I like how they did it. I like how they give you this character who is Dr. Strange, like, without making him a carbon copy of Dr. Strange from Marvel. I love how much more unique that character is, so that they clearly put a separation between him and Dr. Strange. So there's no confusion to both. Even if it's obvious their appearance and everything that they're not the same character, it was just good that they didn't just give him generic magic powers. They actually made his really unique. And I enjoyed that. That was like one of my favorite parts. And I really loved how they made him like very prophetic, where he could see into the future, but he could change it and all that. I loved how they just dug into his powers and cherry-picked certain powers and put them on display in this. I thought that was great. The only gripe that I have about him is, and they show him at the end, but it's really strange seeing his helmet without eyes. It's just a blank gold helmet. Until the end, they actually showed some eyes glow on him. But that was a little off-putting, but that's not enough for me to even like care about. It was really good. Cyclone was pretty cool. She kind of is a back burner character, though. Her and Atom Smasher both are. I love how they do hints to her origin, where they kind of talk about other DCU villains that could potentially come in. That's something that we'll talk about if that ever develops. But I thought that was a really good... I thought she was a really good supporting character. And Adam Smasher's pretty cool, too. I think that they nailed his... His concept could be so freaking goofy and just not work. And they did a good job of making it simple and work. And I really can't praise the what they did with the JSA more. Like, the only thing that they did that worries me is if they were to do, let's say that DC and Warner Brothers got their shit together and they did finally give us like a DC Cinematic Universe that was on par with Marvel's. If they ever do a JSA movie, this could put a damper on things in a way, because of the way that the way that the JSA is in the comics, they'd have to do something pretty different. Now, they did allude to that Hawkman and Dr. Fate had been friends for a very long time, and Dr. Fate made the comment that he had been around when airplanes first appeared. So maybe they put that little tidbit in there so that we understand that Carter Hall and Dr. Fate are indeed very, very old. And the reason why I say this is because in the comics, the JSA were like the World War II team. They were a team of superheroes that banded together and to help the federal government. And they were essentially the Justice League of World War II. They predate the Justice League in the comics. And Hawkman and Dr. Fate were a big part of that team. So they could have secured it with that, but I just wonder how they'll do it if they ever were to do a JSA movie, which I'd be down for that because I really like what they gave us here. I'd love to see more of that. And the thing is that it's very significant with how they brought that team in and they made it work with such a minimal roster and just such a simplistic take on the team. I actually think that they did make choices in here that they have not been making in previous movies. They've been making some very bonehead decisions with how they introduce characters or how they do these characters in these DC movies that have done nothing but pissed off fans and have just been asinine ways of giving you these versions of these characters. And I actually think they took the right route on this. Despite how I feel about how Black Adam should have been introduced, I do think that what we got now and how they did it, I think they did it very well. Now on to Black Adam himself. Black Adam, and The Rock played this character perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. His portrayal of how ruthless Black Adam is such a great representation of how that character is in the comics, because that character in the comics doesn't give a damn. He will kill anyone. Does not care. Now, he is more of a reformed hero of late, but he will still kill. And if you step out of line and get in his way, he will kill you. He's killed so many times in the comics, and he's a team killer. When teams show up, depending on what's going on with Black Adam, he can take out the whole Justice League on his own. It just depends on really what the story is calling for and what's going on in the story. But The Rock did great. He is freaking ruthless in this movie. Like, I can't stress, like, and the thing is that I was very surprised with how far they went with the violence in this movie. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like that this movie was one step away from rated R, but it kind of was. There is a scene when Black Adam first appears and he's fighting this hit team from Inner Gang, and they're all like trained mercenaries and they're all shooting at him and stuff, and he's catching bullets. He don't give a shit the bullets hit him. Like, he's just, and then he just starts laying waste. Like, you see in the trailer where he burns the guy down to ashes. That happens. He does that to several guys. He shoots living lightning. That's the lightning that he shoots is known as the living lightning. He shoots living lightning at people and cooks them to a crisp or burns them to a dust. But there was one time in particular where he ran up and grabbed a guy by his arm, and then he threw him by his arm, and he threw him with so much force that the body broke away from the arm. And it was freaking cool, because then he just throws the severed arm down on the ground. Just, it was awesome. There was a lot of, and I've seen some YouTubers compare this to, like, some of the kills were, like, not necessarily as graphic, but some of them were almost like Mortal Kombat finishing moves, and I can agree with that. There's a couple of times where it's like, yep, I've seen that happen on Mortal Kombat. It's pretty cool how they didn't pull any punches with him. Like, they're like, we don't kill. He's like, well, I do. And I think that's great. And I like how they brought the dichotomy between how Kondak feels about killing bad guys in as well, where they're like, you don't understand what it's like to live under the thumb of a criminal organization, and now we have someone who will stand up and kick them out, kill them, and make sure they never come back. It's a big relief for our people, and I think that they nailed that. They nailed just about everything with his character. I don't have any complaints. I think The Rock was born to play this character, and I think the future is bright if they could just get their shit together at Warner Brothers. I think that he's gonna be a great character to watch on screen. I don't know how they're gonna keep utilizing him, but no matter what, I think he's gonna be a great character. I really like how they brought Amanda Waller in. I do think that the Viola Davis's portrayal of Amanda Waller has been the one staple of this entire cinematic universe, and I'm glad that she has continued to step up to the plate and play that role, because she is absolutely perfect to play Amanda Waller. And I've seen some complaints online where they said that she would just poke the bear, as in she would poke, like she would tell Black Adam, step out of line, I'm going to kill you, do this, I'm going to kill you, if you do that, I'm going to kill you, leave, we'll kill you. Like, she's constantly threatening Black Adam. And people said it was kind of annoying and it kind of didn't make sense. It 100% makes sense for her character, because Amanda Waller doesn't give a damn. She will look a supervillain dead in his face and dare him to put a hand on her, because she's always got something in her pocket that can stop him. And I think that Viola Davis just continues to take that character to new heights and to establish that it's one of the best comic book adaptations of a character to this day. I appreciate what they did with the end credit scene, and I haven't really gotten into much spoilers in this, but I'm going to say spoiler alert, because there's two things I'm going to talk about here that are spoilers. One's kind of pretty well known, so I don't know how anybody could not see this, because it was all over the freaking news for the last 2 weeks. But I like how they brought Superman in at the end and had him interact with Black Adam in the end credit scene. And I'm so happy that Henry Cavill is back playing Superman. And I can't wait till his second movie. It's going to be amazing. Man of Steel 2 is going to be awesome. I'm so glad that he's back. I hope that they retain everybody that was in there besides Ezra Miller. That kid, I'm ready for that kid to go. Not even because of his exploits in the news lately. I just think he's a shitty actor and he's a bad Flash. I don't like him as Barry Allen. He runs like an idiot. Don't like him. Doesn't fit the character at all. Anyway, I like that they brought Henry Cavill back. And I like his version of Superman interacting with Black Adam. And I can't wait to see them fight. The other thing I'm going to talk about as a spoiler is, and I should have included this in my negatives, but they killed off Dr. Fate, seemingly. And I thought that was not a good decision. Someone had to die for the plot to go forward. But I didn't think that it had to be Dr. Fate. But I digress. The effects in the movie were great. The movie shot great. There's some awesome shots in this movie with the camera work and stuff. And I also, even though it's very goofy, I love it when Black Adam throws somebody and then out in the distance you'll see the body flying out and landing in the ocean. I laughed a few times because of that. The humor in this movie is not bad. There's a couple parts where it falls flat. But for the most part, it's got some decent humor. It's not all yucks like it is at Marvel. It's used very sparingly. So that was always good too. But, guys, this movie is not bad at all. It's not spectacular. It's not, holy shit, I can't believe this movie. I can't believe how great this movie is. It's a fun time. It's a good superhero movie. It's definitely not a pile of shit. I don't know what it is. I guess it's superhero fatigue. That's the only thing that I can think of. Which makes sense because I think everybody's feeling a little bit of superhero fatigue. And normally I wouldn't. I'm starting to feel a little bit of superhero movie fatigue as well. Because Marvel is putting out more and more as they're putting a show out right now probably. But they keep pumping out low quality bullshit. Other than like Werewolf by Night, Multiverse of Madness, and a couple things here and there. For every good thing they put out three bad things. Or three subpar things. So, it's one of those things where I get fatigued when you're putting out dog shit. When you're putting out good stuff, you keep me interested. So, I don't know if it's just everybody has superhero fatigue in general. And that's why these critics are shitting on this movie. I don't know exactly. But I enjoyed this movie. And I plan on buying it when it comes out. And I plan on telling everybody to go see it. Because I think it's a pretty good movie. Again, not perfect. Now, I will say this. They hyped up the DC hierarchy of power is about to change. It didn't really change. I understand all that's marketing. I know a lot of people bitched about that. But I guess the only thing it really established is that Black Adam is the second strongest character in this cinematic universe. So I guess it does establish that the hierarchy has changed. Superman is still at the top. And Black Adam is sitting there at second. But it was a little over the top. But I digress. Let's get to the final verdict. Although it brings nothing new to the table, Black Adam offers an entertaining introduction to the character of Black Adam and the JSA, while also offering a small but impactful expansion of the DCEU. Dwayne Johnson proves that he was born to play this character and is a great adaptation to his comic counterpart. The rest of the cast varies in performance, with the standouts being the JSA themselves. But unfortunately, the movie is kept from being more cohesive and unique by its lackluster villain and bland story. But there's enough here to be entertaining and to get the DCEU back on track. With all that being said, Black Adam gets a 3.5 out of 5 and is Grizzly grade guaranteed. Go see it. If I could have gave it a 3.75, I would, but that's just not in my grading scale. It's not quite a 4, so 3.5 is what I got. Go see it. It's good. And with that, we're going to bring this episode to an end. Thank you all so much for y'all's continued support and patience. Without y'all, the show is not possible. I want to give a shout out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. His music is amazing and is what I use as my background music throughout each episode, as well as the music that I use for my intro and outro tracks. So check out his music at White Bat Audio on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and also follow the show on all social media platforms. And more importantly, join my Mean Militia by joining the official Facebook group, the Mean Joe Grizzly Mean Militia. So we're going to be wrapping up the spooky season for y'all on October 31st for our Halloween special. That's something that we're going to do every year on Halloween. We're going to have an episode that's going to be premiering. I wanted to do a Halloween franchise ranked episode. That's probably going to have to wait a little bit. It will happen. I just don't know when I'm going to do it. November's big. You got Black Panther Wakanda Forever coming out. I'm planning on doing a Grizzly Guide to go along with that. Let's see if I can get that out. Either way, that movie's getting reviewed. And that's pretty much what's next on the agenda after that. It's pretty wide open as to what's coming out and what we can talk about. So it might be the time for us to bring back some Grizzly Guides and do a couple things here and there, but it's all up in the air right now, so we'll just play it by ear. But until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.